Well, I desire a sincere interest in your prayers today. I guess there isn't a Sunday that goes by but that we need the Lord's help. And I particularly feel the need of the Lord very strongly when I stand in this place. I'm a human being, just like everyone else, trying to get to heaven. God is so divine, and I am so human, and I'm so needy of God, and so pray for me today. I'd like to write the subject on the board for this morning. I've written on the board, open house. You ever been to an open house? You ever seen the signs that say open house on a realtor sign somewhere? Maybe you're interested in buying a house. Maybe you're interested in buying an investment property, or maybe it's going to be for you. And when you go to an open house that's for sale that you're interested in purchasing, when you get there, you expect for the house to be open, right? Said open house, you expect it not to be locked. And if you go in the house, don't you expect to be able to see all the rooms? What would it be like if you went to an open house and you started wandering through the house and you're interested and you thought, well, I wonder what's in this room, and you tried the door, but the door was locked. And maybe you tried another room in the house and found that door was locked too. And you went and you asked the person up front. You said, hey, the room's back there. I wasn't able to get in. Do you mind unlocking those doors? I'm interested in buying this house. And they said, well, those rooms are really not open for anybody to look in. Those doors are locked, but you can look anywhere else in the house that you want. How would you feel about that? How would you feel if you bought the house, the keys are turned over to you and it's now your house, and so you moved in and you went into the house, and would you know it, there were still rooms in the house that had special locks on the doors, and you weren't able to get into the rooms. But you bought the house. But there's still rooms that are locked in the house. How would you feel about that? Do you think Jesus ever feels that way? Do you think the Lord ever feels that way about us? Did you know that the Lord paid full price for our lives? And He desires with love that He be given full access to our lives, to all the rooms in our house, to everything that pertains to us as individuals. The Lord would like access to those places, the secret places, the dark places, the places maybe we don't just want the public to go in and out and know all about. But Jesus paid the price for our lives. And He'd like us to give Him access to it. My message that I am inspired with is that we would open our house, that we would open our lives to Jesus, all of it. And I don't expect to be able to finish delivering this burden this morning, but would like, by the help of the Lord, to lay a foundation, and I look forward to being able to explore the wonderful privilege that we have of having Jesus come into our lives and be a part of every area of our lives and helping us as we journey. I'd like to start by reading a familiar story found in the 19th chapter of Luke. In Luke 19 and 1, it says, "And Jesus entered, and he passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not, for the press, for the obstacles that were in front of him, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down. And it said he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with the man that is sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Well, there's a lot to review here, and Lord willing, we'll get to review some of this. I'd like to start by opening up myself a little bit and relay a little bit about what my perspective is on this based on my life and what I've been exposed to, and I hope that it connects with you and that you can feel my heart, see where I'm coming from. I've spent a lot of years, nearly three decades actually, almost 30 years, working around highly hazardous products and in potentially very highly hazardous processes. Both highly hazardous products and highly hazardous processes that if not handled right, bad things can happen. And I'm not referring to skin, knees, and sprained ankles. I'm talking about lost lives, messed up neighborhoods, things where, and bear with me, this is taking us somewhere by the help of the Lord, things that if are not handled right with the reactors that were in place, a lot of reactors where you take things and you mix them together, that if not handled right could be very, very explosive, highly pressurized, with lives at stake. And because of that, there was much effort, a lot of human and financial capital was expended to protect life. Engineering controls were put in place so that things were supposed to automatically happen without human intervention to keep people safe. Safeguards standard operating procedures, much training, hours and hours, many dollars. You're never done with it. Are focused every day to try to make sure that people go home at the end of the day in the same place, same way they came to work. And part of that, part of those processes and procedures that took place to make sure that lives were preserved was that we would do what we would call internal audits and inspections. And it didn't just happen once a year, but we would inspect and audit and scrutinize and do deep dives into all of these things that we said we were doing to preserve life and health. We said that this was supposed to work this way so that life was preserved, and so we would test it and see if it in fact worked like we thought it was going to work. And we would examine behaviors and operating procedures and to see if it was exactly like we thought we said that it was. And we would look for vulnerabilities and cracks and gaps to see if there was anything that could happen that we didn't realize. Maybe change had happened. Maybe something new had come that wasn't there before. And wanted to make sure that it had been thought about in a way so that we weren't caught off guard, so that somebody's life or health wasn't taken from them. And I know there's a number of you here today that have experience in some of those things. And we did this not because the safeguard and the standard was the end goal in of itself. That was not intended to be what we worshiped, if I can say it that way. The end goal was that life would be preserved. And that's a message all in itself. Safeguards, standards of protection, behaviors that are employed is not what is to be worshipped in of itself. It's that we never lose sight of why it's there. It's to preserve life. And from time to time, somebody from the outside would unexpectedly show up. From the government, a regulatory agency to come and inspect for themselves and audit to determine whether or not we were doing what we were supposed to be doing in their eyes. And sometimes it would maybe not be the government, but would be a outside third party. And you know what? There were times where I didn't feel like that they had us in their best interest, if I can say it that way. Sometimes it felt like that their purpose was more to find and fine more than it was to find and help resolve. Do you know who was welcomed and sought after more than anybody else? By us, by me. It was people that I knew. People that I knew that cared about me. And that cared about the manufacturing plant. Somebody that had vast experience, deep experience, understanding what it was we were doing. I was interested in and received with with joy people that would come in and were willing to dig deep and audit and try our systems and look for gaps with, from their heart, a desire to help preserve life and health. And then you know what they did when they revealed and found a whole bunch of gaps that needed to be resolved? They stayed and helped resolve the problems that they found. And I will tell you from my heart that that was a joy and a blessing. To have people that would do that kind of work for you. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we live in a time and we live in a world where there are highly hazardous products and there are potentially highly hazardous processes that are in play that if are not handled very carefully can destroy life and health. Sin abounds around us. The flesh is marketed. We are being inundated with those things that appeal to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It is a multi-billion dollar industry. And it is pressing on us, every one of us, when we go out and live life. These things, if we are not very careful, will find places in our lives and take our life and destroy our lives and cause us to never go home the same person that we left. And it can happen subtly and over time where we have a sense of security, a false sense of security sometimes, and everything seems to be going okay, and we get lackadaisical, and maybe we fail to have processes in place where we allow ourselves to be tried and inspected and audited, if you will, to see if there be anything that could cause us trouble in life spiritually. And if we're not very careful, the products that are all around us, the absence of morality, calling right wrong and wrong right, over and over and over and over again, until we become almost convinced that right is wrong and wrong is right, or at a minimum, we lose our sense of awareness of the danger that is so close by. Until one day something happens that takes life, or that perhaps takes limb. Maybe we survived, but we never go through life the same anymore. And invariably, when things like that happen, you can look behind and begin to see the trail that led up to that catastrophic event. And it was there to be seen. If we'd only been looking, if we'd only been paying attention, If we'd only been open to being willing to have all the doors in the house open for inspection. If only we had been more ready to receive feedback from the Holy Spirit of God. If only we'd been willing to have people that were truly concerned about life and health come in and with honesty say, this is a problem. And be willing to develop a gap closure plan with identified responsibilities and target dates and review dates and to keep it alive to be able to continue to press until that thing has been resolved, if only. And yet so often we get lulled into places of comfort until people get hurt. I am desperate this morning. I am desperate to have somebody help me in this life, in the midst of dangerous products and processes that can take life. I am desperate to have somebody that knows all about it. I am desperate to have somebody that knows who I am. I'm desperate to have somebody that knows my weaknesses. Desperate to have somebody that knows where my problem areas are in life. I'm desperate this morning to have somebody that cares enough about me that they're willing to come and sit at my table and go through my house with love and then is willing to remain and help me resolve those things that have the potential of stealing my life. And draining me of the oil that I must have on hand when I stand before God at the last day. The good news this morning, there is such a one. And His name is called Jesus. And He's not a regulatory enforcement officer. But He calls Himself the shepherd, the good shepherd, who gave His life that I would not have to lose mine. And this morning I want you to know that Jesus, the good shepherd, does not want us to be afraid of opening our house to Him. He doesn't want us to be afraid to unlock all the doors and open them wide with the good and the bad. Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid of what He's going to come back with. Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid of His conclusions. You know why? Do you know why that the Lord can assure us with His promises to not be afraid, for I am with you? It's because the Lord does not come into the rooms of our lives that we're not proud of and put it all on the table and overwhelm us with those things that we don't know how to handle or address. And then walk out the front door and say, make sure you get it taken care of. No. He tells us not to be afraid and gives us assurance that we don't have to be afraid. Because if we are willing, yes, Christians, I'm not on the street corner preaching to those without God this morning. I'm preaching to people who are endeavoring to serve the Lord. And we are still human. And we still have natural tendencies. And the Lord wants us this morning to be aware of the risk of closing doors in our house. The Lord wants us to happily and with joy and with thanksgiving invite Him into the whole of our house, because He offers us the full package. He offers us help and grace and strength. He promises us a comforter in the form of His Holy Spirit that lives within us to help us and to give us hope and to pick us up when we fall. And when we begin to err and we begin to perhaps get lackadaisical, and perhaps when we miss it and we get outside of what a manufacturing plant might call control limits, that Jesus is not there to push us up and out, but He is there to help bring us back in, that we might make heaven our home. And this morning my burden is that we would fully and completely, without hesitation, without reservation, open our lives in every area to Jesus Christ, because He is our salvation. Well, we see Jesus' purpose of coming to Zacchaeus' house was not to come to Zacchaeus' house to say, "Zacchaeus, you bad person. Zacchaeus, you have done things in your life that there is possibly no way for you to find redemption. You have cheated people, you have stolen from people, that you probably have no way of ever making completely right. It's so complicated, Zacchaeus. You have erred. You have destroyed other people's lives by taking from them, and you have destroyed your own life. And I just wanted to come by and tell you that you are the example of the person that people should not follow if they want to find life. It's hopeless for you, Zacchaeus. It's outside of your reach. And I just wanted you to know that as I passed through Jericho this day." It was far from that. Thank God. Because I see myself as Zacchaeus. When you look back at your life and you realize that, "Lord, I need help. Lord, I've made grave errors in life. Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I feel like that there is that in front of me that I don't know how to get through the press." And yet, one day, Jesus came by my way and He said, "I want to go to your house. I want to meet with you." And He came to Zacchaeus' house with love and with care, and He brought hope and He brought forgiveness and He brought life. And that is exactly what Jesus wants to do for us in our lives today. It's more than a story. It's more than words on a page. But it can be the very air that we breathe. It can be the very Spirit that lives within us, bringing us salvation and hope and joy. And so, Lord willing, over the course of the next little bit, next couple of Sundays or so, I'd like to notice and explore three critical points of this account that we read. The first being that Zacchaeus did not allow physical, spiritual, or situational obstacles to hinder him from seeking Jesus. Did you know that the devil does that to us all the time? Tries to get us not to seek Jesus because we see things ahead that look too hard to go through, mountains too high to climb, rivers too deep to wade through, fire too hot to go through, situations in our lives that we don't understand how they possibly can be made right, even though we would like to see Jesus. But Zacchaeus did not allow any situation to hinder him from seeking Jesus, from making contact with Jesus. He didn't try to be saved and make everything right before he saw Jesus. He just recognized his need of Jesus. The Lord wants us to get a hold of that point today. And number two, that Zacchaeus made haste. He made haste in opening his house and taking Jesus up on the offer. Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house today. And it said that Zacchaeus made haste to come down and to go to his house and have Jesus come in. Folks, the Lord wants us to make haste, that when He passes by our way, when He knocks on our heart's door, when He puts His finger on something in our life, when He shows us a spiritual gap, when He opens our eyes to something that could, if we're not very careful, take our life and cause harm to us or those that are following after us, that we would make haste to receive the Lord and let Him come in and talk to us and open our eyes about that thing. And number three, that Zacchaeus also made haste to take action. Not only was he willing to make haste for the Lord to come in and reveal himself to himself, but he was willing to take action. It is one thing to know, it is another thing to do something about it. I know that sometimes acknowledging our problems is half the battle. Because a lot of times it's so easy to justify and cover up and misrepresent ourselves to ourselves. Have you ever misrepresented yourself to yourself? I think I have. And that's half the battle sometimes, is being honest. But did you know that the Lord wants us to make haste to take action? And by the grace of God, be willing to start taking steps. We may not know all of the actions that are going to be required, but the Lord doesn't want us to be stuck in a quagmire of uncertainty and be stagnant in our lives for Him, where we take no action at all, but by God's help, that we would be like Zacchaeus to make haste to begin to take action. And you know what I see? When Zacchaeus did not allow situations of life to keep him from seeking Jesus, and he made haste to open his house to receive Jesus, and he made haste to take action, do you know what happened? It said that salvation came to his house. And he was a very happy man. Folks, this morning, once again, the Good Shepherd is not a regulatory enforcement agent. there to find and fine and leave you in discouragement. But He is a shepherd who offers to come, fill the whole of our lives, and give us grace and help and strength and wisdom to be able to pick up and, by the grace of God, press on with victory, that we might meet Jesus in peace and help others along the way. Let's invite Him to take complete control of our lives. When? Today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Maybe that's far enough for this morning. May the Lord help us that these thoughts would be an encouragement and a challenge to each one of us. Pray for me. I want to be true.